Welcome to a bonus episode of the Long Coat Mafia podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, show's main host and frontman. In this bonus episode, because I tried to do things remotely again, the tech gremlin decided to rear its ugly head when I decided to speak with Joe, who returned to the show to talk about a lot of the stuff that's been happening in the WWE and in wrestling in general over the past couple of months. So, if you don't mind me trying to mask a lot of the issues that we had, and one of which was our equipment deciding to kind of turn itself off midway through the recording and having to kind of reset every setting we had done or pre-done for this remote broadcast. Either way, here's that episode. Here's that conversation I had with Joe about wrestling and the WWE. Take it away.
Let's do this. All right, folks. I know I'm sounding a little bit different right now because we're kind of doing things remotely, and something we haven't done in a very long while. So that's why things are sounding a little bit odd, and the computer is working. We're using kind of our quasi new setup, which means we are recording outside for one. Number two, editing might be involved just in case of a train. But that aside, as you probably heard through our brief little intro, Joe is with us, or he's back with us. It's been over a year since you've been on the show, Joe.
Yeah. So, it's been a while, man. I've been busy. Been doing a lot of stuff.
I know. Let me just say this before we get into the meat and potatoes. One, since the last time you were on, it was like, what, February last year? Maybe March? In around there?
Might have been longer than that.
It was WandaVision, because we were talking about that. And so, let me just say, we were right. It was What's-Her-Name all along. And
The Witch.
Yeah, it was The Witch. And the other thing I must confess, because, folks, we're talking about wrestling this episode, and I wanted to do some homework in regards to this episode, so I kind of sound a little bit more informed. And because I didn't get a chance to see Backlash, Peacock wouldn't let me.
It's fucking terrible.
Peacock or The Event?
Well, both of them, but The Event was fucking horrible.
Let me just say, on my end, I started watching last night, got a little bit past the first match. I figured I'll watch it this morning while I'm getting ready for this. Went back onto Peacock. Peacock wouldn't let me play it.
Peacock knows better. It was that bad. They don't even want you to watch it.
It was like it kept sending me back to the beginning of the broadcast. I'd fast forward it to the point where I was ended. It was like, nope, we're not letting you. Sorry. I'm like, really?
Dude, you didn't miss anything. Trust me. It was a shit pay-per-view with a bunch of bullshit matches. Garbage. It was a trash pay-per-view.
Just two things. First off, when did the pay-per-views in essence become like a they're broadcasts anyway, but the equivalent of a Raw or SmackDown, that's pretty much what they are now. Glorified Raw or SmackDown.
You're giving them credit. I would say that they're a house show.
I've seen better house shows. And
I've seen better high school wrestling matches.
Oh snap. I don't know what button that would have been. But I will say, the other thing is, when did pay-per-views become a Saturday night thing? They were always a Sunday night thing.
Well, WWE decided that they wanted to go with Saturdays because most people have to work on Mondays. So they wanted to go with Saturdays to kind of be more of a weekend demographic type thing so they can hit the weekend demographic. So kids can stay up later, adults can stay up later because most people are off on the weekends.
It's like, normally I don't
think it's
mind.
Been about a year.
It feels weird for the most part. But when you have, like, the Super Bowl on a Sunday night, but that's the whole thing. It's like Super Bowl. It's football.
And now, WrestleMania
Go ahead.
WrestleMania is different now. WrestleMania, they made that two nights, and that's been sticking for the past 3 years. Or two or three, something like that.
That was I wouldn't say just WrestleMania. It's like... You and I have been around for a while that we know that the whole, like, it just slipped my mind. Like, the Intercontinental Belt or the U.S. Belt, I think that was the kind of like the, what would be the mid-card belt systems or the lower rungs were always part of the pay-per-view. Now, they're... The pregame stuff. It's like,
well, it used to be that where all the titles were part of the pay-per-view,
right?
And that was part of the pay-per-view's draw was we're going to get all the championships defended,
right? Now it's like, okay, if you want to watch the Intercontinental title match, you get to see it on the pregame, and it's like, or the pre-show. It's like.
Yeah, and now it's becoming the Bloodline show anyways. They're winning all the titles anyway.
Right. The weird thing is my notes, because of everything kind of started earlier this year, and it had like the lackluster rumble, but the every pay-per-view has been lackluster. And the whole aspect of the WWE app is now gone. I guess they were losing money with that because everybody was jumping on board. Why spend $60 on a pay-per-view when you could pay $10 and watch it on a monthly basis?
Well, that wasn't the big issue why they sold. The issue why they sold was Peacock offered them a shit ton of money.
Now, that's always the case.
And Vince was like, I can get guaranteed money, and I get a partnership with NBC Peacock, and I have another partnership with Fox, so I'm kind of in on two fronts. I'm in with Disney, and I'm in with NBC. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
And there's always been that, from what I've been hearing, that controversy that they've been having with Saudi Arabia for the past, 2 years, 3 years, something like
that? They signed an extension on their contract with Saudi Arabia, and now they're doing more shows in Saudi Arabia.
They had a pay-per-view, one of their pay-per-views out of there, too, didn't they?
Was it Money in the Bank? Or
something like that.
One of them. One of them was over in Saudi Arabia.
The thing with that is that if you're not fully paying attention, you'll blink and miss it.
It's because they signed a contract with Saudi Arabia. In order to sign the contract, they had to sign off to do X amount of pay-per-views and shows per year and per contract cycle, which is usually, I believe, 4 years.
Yeah, but over the past year, it's one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on is because it seems over the past year, the WWE has been so weird, controversial, or
shit.
Yeah, that's been for the least past 6 years.
But I mean, you have really good performers on the show, but the problem is they're not being storied right. And they're not being booked right. The booking and the storytelling has been shit. It's been trash. And you're firing guys left and right and gals for no apparent reason other than, oh, budget cuts. But yet you're showing record numbers as far as like sales and shit.
I didn't know that. I knew about budget cuts but the whole storyline issue and people being put on mid-card or not using their talent right has been an issue since the days of CM Punk when he was at the, I don't want to say top of his game, but this was like 2015, 2016 when you heard it back then with loads of folks.
Well, let's say what's happening now. You know, like I was just talking about their record high profits. WWE in the years 2020 and 2021 made the most money that the company has ever made. And they also had the most budget cuts.
Yeah, I heard due to
budget cuts, but yet you had the two biggest record earning years in your company's history.
Yeah, one of the things, like, last year you had... now, here's what some of the things I heard. I even jotted it down. That it wasn't just budgetary. One of the things why so much talent, if you will, was fired is, from what I was hearing, I don't know if what you heard or if you got it to into it on the show that you're a part of, which is what again?
Oh, it's the PUWF. We do hashtag FTM. We do podcasts usually a couple times a week. We do AEW Dynamite live on Wednesdays. And we also do AEW Rampage live on Fridays. When there's also some other stuff they do, like we watch MLW on Thursdays. There's a lot of things we do.
Yeah, don't forget to send me the links so I can share them when this episode gets posted up.
But gotcha, man. We'll be live tonight at 8 for AEW.
Yeah, we're folks.
Watch Dynamite.
As of we're recording, it is a Wednesday, so that's just for context. But what I was hearing last year when they were kind of firing everybody left and right and over 100 wrestlers were let go, part of what I was hearing is, and it was a rumor, it was somehow connected with Triple H, that somehow he fell out of favor and he wasn't being liked that much. So I don't know what you heard during that time.
Well, I heard that it was because Vince didn't like the way Triple H was running things, and then, ironically, Triple H had a cardiac issue with his heart, had to have surgery. And during that time, Bruce Pritchard, I believe, and Vince McMahon took over NXT and changed it completely, pretty much fired almost every single one of Triple H's people that he was bringing up. A lot of Triple H's friends got fired. I know Road Dogg got fired. but Yeah, it looked like they were gunning for Triple H, so trying to make a message like this isn't Triple H's company no more.
That's
he has nothing to do with it.
And I think you and I could both agree, and some of the people that might not know, is that there's been many of stories come out that you look at Vince McMahon the wrong way, you're gone.
You're gone.
You're gone.
And let's go into it too. Stephanie McMahon just announced the other day that she'll be stepping away from her role in WWE for a while.
Right. And I tried to find more information, but from what I've been hearing, it's everything's really close to the chest, and no one really knows the true story.
And Shane McMahon was also fired from WWE as well.
Right. But with the whole aspect of Stephanie is that it seems very weird that – I'm not saying what happened with Triple H wasn't serious. Having a heart attack is serious, but it just seems weird that in a way Triple H is stepping away from a lot of his duties with the WWE because he said a lot of my in-ring stuff I'm not going to do anymore. And
well, he already retired from in-ring competition because he couldn't do it.
Right.
Because of his cardiac issue.
And now he's doing the comeback a little bit with the company, but Stephanie is stepping back. So it
now,
just
my
seems
question
a little weird.
Is Stephanie stepping back because she's standing up for her husband and she wants to be there for him?
Well,
is she supporting her man? I mean, you know, there's a lot of issues going on.
You could look at it like this, to kind of do a tinfoil hat thing. And if you want to say it like that, then she should have stepped back and took a leave of absence when Triple H had his heart condition. Then I'd totally agree. But it right now, with everything with what we hear with Vince and everything else, and with Triple H coming back, what if, to go with what you're saying, she said, all right, Dad, I'll step down if you let him come back.
Yeah, that could be too. That's a great possibility as well. And there's so much going on in wrestling right now that I know a lot of the talent's not happy. WWE, I know there's a lot of talent that's not happy. They're being misused. They're not agreeing with the way the company's going. They're having a lot of issues. Speaking about issues, I know you heard the rumblings of Sasha Banks and Naomi.
Oh yes. That's one of the things I wanted to get into, because that seems all over the place. Because when that broke, one of the things that I heard was, it was through the grapevine, I think we all heard the same thing, it was that she and Naomi had issues with, according at that time, it was somebody they couldn't work with well enough, or they have issues with, and it turned out to be Becky and Asuka. I'm probably mispronouncing your name.
Asuka.
And therefore, then it came out, one of the things I heard and was reading up on is that, no, it wasn't so much as the issues between her, both Becky and Asuka. It was Sasha had an issue of Ronda Rousey coming back and getting a title shot and her being bumped down. And the rumor was she kind of convinced Naomi to, in essence, go toodles with her at the show. And one of the other things is that, from what I've been hearing, things are going to get lot worse before they get better. And also what came out is that they've been suspended indefinitely. There's no chance in hell they're coming back.
So, okay, so here's what's going on. First off, Sasha and Naomi. You got the WWE side, and you got the Sasha and Naomi side. Sasha and Naomi are silent about the whole situation.
So far.
Everybody has said it's a work.
People are saying it's a work. Normies
out there, not a work.
Find a work.
It's not a work. A work is when, as a wrestling company, you design, you bring up an angle, and you use it to make profit and to work it into your storyline.
Kind of like what Becky did with Asuka. Asuka, that because of what happened, Becky went to the back and said, hey, can Asuka kind of betray me so I could go for a title shot or something like that. It was like to set up a storyline that they could, in a way, go their separate ways.
Yes. Okay. It was when she gave up the belt when she was a mom. She had the belt in the briefcase.
Yeah. Okay. That's one of two examples, ladies and gentlemen. So go ahead.
So here we go. So we're a lot of people have said it might have been, you know, work, something that's fabricated, not real. Okay. And then it got real.
Okay, folks, welcome back. We had some weird technical difficulties for the past couple of minutes. Thank you, Bill Gates. And you can go fuck yourself. So, you were saying about this whole thing being a quite possible work and the fact that, in a way, it could be just the way of WWE trying to get more money, but everything from Sasha Banks to Naomi is now gone.
Yeah, if you go to WWE... Pardon me. If you go to WWEshop.com, you can actually see that all of Sasha and Naomi's merchandise is no longer on the website. You type in Sasha Banks or Naomi in the search bar, and it comes up with nothing found.
We're saying that Sasha has, in the past, been kind of a troublesome person behind the scenes. This was like before.
Yeah. Like a crybaby.
As to, is it because she's one of the whole aspects of I'm a diva, or is it because of the fact that, I'm dating a lot of folks that could be famous, or, you know, I've been on, the Mandalorian and the whole nine yards sort of thing?
No, I think she's just... I feel like she's just getting... Her head's gotten too big. She's had this issue before where she had... pardon me. Where she had done this locker room drama bullshit before where she walked away. And everybody thought she was going to get fired or leave. And neither of which happened. She came back. Everybody's like, yay, Sasha's back. And I'm just like, no. So this is bad locker room. This is bad for the locker room.
Do you think this time, the whole, pretty much the background and everybody was like, you know what? We're sick and tired of your shit. And therefore, you're gone?
I felt like it was going to be one of those things to where it becomes a job abandonment issue. Insubordination. And what happens if you're at a job and you're insubordinate, or you pretty much put your badge down and walk out of your job? Well, what happens?
you're in essence fired. But then again, we said in like the previous segment that if you look at Vince McMahon the wrong way, you're fired.
Yeah, but now you have to look at it from a business aspect. Like if fire Naomi and Sasha. But if I fire them, they go to AEW, to the competition.
And speaking of that, we have that's a great segue in a way, because we had a gentleman come back from the AEW, Cody Rhodes come back from the AEW.
St. Disney? Not yet.
What? He's still not officially with Cody Rhodes is not officially with WWE. He's just on loaner.
No. He's with WWE. I you said Cody Banks, and I was making reference to WWE selling the company possibly to Disney.
Oh. Why, has that been on the rumor board?
It's been talked about.
Oh, it's like everybody's been in talks of like being sold to Disney.
So yeah, apparently WWE is possibly selling their company. Rumors are Disney is possibly one of the buyers. Peacock is another.
Like
so,
like Disney knows anything about wrestling?
They own Fox, and Fox has the right to has the program rights to view to show SmackDown.
Well, even though they have the rights to show it, they might not know anything about how wrestling is done anyway. I won't say, look what happened with WCW. That was run by Turner, and they pretty much, well, they let the, as some stated, let the inmates run the asylum, and that pretty much ruined WCW, and it got bought out by WWE.
Bischoff. Eric Bischoff.
And what's Eric doing now? Probably at AEW, probably.
No. He thinks that WWE is beating AEW and they're doing things wrong and yada, yada, yada. But he's been on both shows, WWE and AEW.
And one of the other things...
And it's like... And here's the thing, though. You've got Eric Bischoff, who's got all this knowledge and talent. Supposed to be this big name. But what a lot of people fail to realize is he's part of the reason why two companies failed.
What? AEW? Not AEW. WCW and WWF?
Well, not WWF. It's part of the reason that it failed was WCW. And the other is, Impact. Oh. TNA. Which is not TNA no more. It's Impact now. Why? Because
funding. I forgot why it failed. I heard various reasons. I think
poor management. Poor management. Poor display of your talents. Lots of poor things. Money may have been an issue, but there was a lot more than that.
State that I don't know if you heard this rumor, but I've been hearing that Roman Reigns is not going to be doing any more live shows. Did you hear anything about that?
Yes. So apparently Roman Reigns is changing his direction. He changed his contract. He's on a part-timer contract now. So him wrestling on TV and in live shows is pretty much a thing going to be a thing of the past.
So we might see him once in a blue moon.
Good catch.
Yeah.
Yes. He's going to become a part-timer like everybody else.
Yeah, pretty much. And
but they're not taking the belts off him. So he's going to be a part-timer with two titles.
Kind of like Brock Lesnar.
No, worse, because he's going to have he has two titles and he's a part-timer.
So, can we also briefly touch on the not surprised that happened earlier, I think I want to say earlier this year, which is
Cody Rhodes?
Not so much Cody Rhodes. The other not surprised, or why is this news type news, and that is Jeff Hardy getting fired by the WWE for abuse issues.
You mean Jeff Hardy playing the WWE and Vince McMahon like a fiddle?
Oh, I didn't know that. I just heard it was like when I saw it, it was like, oh, Jeff Hardy was having issues again.
No. So Jeff Hardy was at a live show in a six-man tag with Drew McIntyre and I forgot who the other person was. Anyway, Jeff rolls out of the ring and he walks out.
That I heard. I heard it, that because of that, it was due to a drinking problem, and therefore that's why he got fired.
Nope. It's just, they tested him for drugs and for alcohol, and he came back negative on both.
So he just wanted out and just leave.
And WWE fired him instantly, thinking that he had a substance problem. And then as soon as they fired him and the test came back positive, that's why negative, because you never heard anything about it, because WWE had egg on their face. They screwed up. They fucked up. And they even offered Jeff a Hall of Fame induction this year at WrestleMania.
And he said...
Right?
And
he said, no. He said, I will not do it without my brother.
So, because his brother's what? Now part of AEW?
Yes, and now Jeff is as well.
So, they're both... I'm sure Jeff is doing well and behaving himself in AEW.
Of course he is. He didn't do drugs or alcohol.
Because to me, it just seemed like, hey, that's why is that not a surprise?
He's clean and sober.
So
still, WWE falsely jumped the gun and fired a man, wrongfully fired a man, okay, from his contract because they thought that he was on substance or alcohol. They administered a test, which he was insulted by, but did. And when he did the test and it came back negative, they looked like assholes and they were trying to get him back because they knew he was going to AEW and Matt.
And with that, it's like one of those things that, hey, why not? It's like, why not for one? And when the audience hears about it, it's like, oh, it's Jeff Hardy. What else is new? But you didn't, like me, you didn't hear anything else beyond that. You just heard, hey, you was dismissed due to
substance abuse or alcohol.
Yeah,
because they didn't want to look like assholes because they tested him and he came back negative for everything.
Well, WWE, that's why AEW is still kind of, even though it's still fairly young, it's been
3 years.
3 years. And they're still, fairly successful so far?
Very successful.
So that's good to hear. I don't want to knock on wood, so to speak. So I hope they stick around. And before we go, before that train comes, what were your... I want to say this. I've got to add this in. I just remembered it. What were your thoughts about the whole news coming out of... MegaCon in regards to The Undertaker?
What is that? I didn't hear that.
Basically, what came out... now, folks, MegaCon is a very... Think a Wizard World or think a pop culture show that's very big in the Orlando area in Florida. Just in case there are other Orlandos in the country, but the more famous one. And it came out that The Undertaker, for his signing, if you wanted, I guess, a photo or a magazine signed, it was like $220. It was No, yeah, $250 for just a regular signing. If you wanted a belt signed, it was $300. It was like $299. But if you wanted him to add Hall of Famer on it, it was an extra $100, flat out. But if you presented him anything with WWE on it, it seemed like WWE tickets, WWE, his card that said WWE on it, no, he would not sign that.
Okay, and that's very odd. I do know Undertaker asks a lot to for appearances, but at the same time, he is a Hall of Famer, and he is one of the most known wrestling figures of all time. Do I agree with the prices? You know how I feel about cons, Chris. You know how I feel about the con, man.
Right.
I feel it's all a big thing, and it's all a money grab, and it's bullshit. Because the con has to pay these people to show up.
Right.
First off. So they're getting paid regardless.
It's not just that. At one point, I know we're getting straying a little bit far, and you got to go in a few minutes for the other your other broadcast, but it was once that it was paid to show up, and if they didn't get enough, it was just, hey, you're paid to show up and you're selling your autograph. Or selling the autograph was a way for the convention to pay for that particular celebrity. Now, that if a con, meaning let's say Undertaker is $1 million to show up, if he doesn't hit $1 million in sales, the con has to pay the difference.
So, that's crazy.
And plus, there's the photo ops and everything else. But
see, I was under the impression that they got paid by the con, regardless, and then they got paid for their autographs as well.
It used to be that if I remember what the guy in charge of Horrifying said, not Horrifying, Monster Mania, he said that regards to. Like a celebrity, if meaning you were the celebrity I brought on or brought in and paid for, your fee is, let's say, $100,000. Okay, here's $100,000. You're going to show up, but if I can, but there's a cancel fee, meaning that if I have to cancel on you for whatever reason, hey, I broke a leg or the venue burnt down. I still have, instead of paying you $100,000, I have to pay you $50,000. But there's the clause, like with what happened back in 2020, that both sides you don't get paid. You know, the con doesn't have to pay the celebrity because it's considered an act of God.
Okay, but, so why don't we go back to the way it used to be, to where you want somebody to show up at a show? And you pay them as a convention. You pay them. You charge tickets to get in. Okay? Your ticket prices cover your celebrities and your venue. Okay? And the autographs should be free.
They're used
now.
You and I both used it. Wizard World Philly used to do that. Then there was at some
dude,
point
I,
a change.
I used to do it. I used to do it in Brooklyn all the time. I used to go to Funtime USA. It was an arcade, 3-story arcade in Brooklyn. I used to go there all the time because every month there was a new WWF athlete that would come there for free autographs.
Now they charge. Now they charge.
And Undertaker was one of them. Undertaker with Paul Bearer, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Sid Vicious, Triple H in China. Trying to think of some other ones. Tammy Sitch with Chris Candido. He showed up. You know, he wasn't paid, but he showed up and signed autographs too. He was at ECW at the time. Like Sable, Mark Marrow. Just trying to think of it. Goldust and Terry Runnels. Like, these people were showing up, and they were top talent, and they were showing up, Rowdy Piper. They were showing up, and the autographs were all free. Hey. You didn't have to pay to get in the place.
Or if you had to pay, it was the aspect of they have photographs that you had to pay for. That was it.
No, the photographs were free.
Oh, they were free.
They handed you free printed out, copied pictures of the stars.
I think it kind of moved that it went from the autographs were free, but if you wanted the like a photograph, you had to pay for the photograph. But it's all weird now. That
it all just went to a cash grab. That's all it is. Everybody's collecting money, and the fans suffer.
Right, right. There's a few people I know that it's if you had something of theirs, they'll sign it for free. But I know. I think she's still with ECW. That's Monique Dupree. She's like a manager, a wrestler for I think it's ECW. She works also co-works for Trauma. If you have something of hers, she'll be more than happy to sign it if she's at a show. She'll be in the Waynesboro Comic Con in a couple of weeks. So she's more than happy. You know, if you say hi to her, she's more than happy to talk to you. If you want to buy merch from her table, she'll be more happy to sell you merch. But for the most part, if you have something like an old DVD that she's been in, she'd be more than happy to sign it for you. I don't think there's a charge that way, but
see, and that's the thing, and that's what these celebrities and all these other people are getting away from is you have these fans, and they shouldn't have to pay more money. First, they have to pay to get in the place, which is usually expensive. It's usually $50, sometimes $100, sometimes $200, just to get in the door. And then when they get in the door, they got to pay every single person in that place that they want an autograph from another $50 to $200.
Me and Big Candy went over this last year with AwesomeCon prices because they had this weird package beyond just the ticket. Because you had the ticket price, you had like the daily passes, you had the weekend passes, you had the VIP passes, you had the VIP plus, you had the VIP plus plus plus, and you had the super VIP pass, which was like $2,000 plus, and there was no real value in it. It was not like the days of like Wizard World East. If you got a VIP pass, or you went to Baltimore and got a VIP pass, you got a whole mess of goodies with that VIP pass. The VIP pass for AwesomeCon was basically, you get a chance to stand in line first and 5% off our merch booth. If you're a part of the VIP Plus pass, you get 10% off. You get two tickets instead of one for the front of the line. But if you're in the plus, plus, plus super pass, which is $2,000, you get unlimited stuff and 25% off, and you have access to a special VIP plus super club VIP lounge. I'm like, no, that's not worth $2,000.
Forget that. No, like, if they're going to do something, they should be like, okay, we're going to have mega tickets. They're $500. That includes your access to the venue, a special bundle pack, okay, and all the autographs, no charge.
That's
flat.
Kind of what my buddy Big Candy said in regards to press. If you're considered press or can be considered press or someone small like me, because I don't agree with what some cons do, is that. I know you got to go in a couple of minutes. I'll let you go. But is that if you're a con that doesn't like press or got burnt by a lot of folks that got their press pass and didn't do jack shit, then it's my viewpoint, one, that you have to do more of a due diligence on your end of the con when you do press passes. Make them prove they actually did their work. If they didn't do their work, in any way, shape, or form. Or it's like, hey, but I went to X con, it was fun. Then, you know what? They don't come back next year. You tell them, don't come back. But if they put out a whole episode about going to the show, they put out videos, they put out, like what I do, I put out as much audio content, as much video content. Heck, I take pictures. Hey, we want that fucker back. Because why? Because he's putting out content, as much content as he could. We want him back. So, or if you have an keep getting burned, say, hey, we understand you want to get this. Instead of paying, let's say $25 for a ticket, you pay $50 for a ticket. We'll give you press access, but you have to do the work.
Okay, I get that. And then on top of that, like I said, I feel that the cons need to, I think that they need to just go with a flat fee. So, you know, people will be more inclined to pay that $500. Like, hey, I get to have everybody's autograph that's in here. Let me drop $500 on a ticket.
The thing is,
you know what I'm saying?
I think Detroit Comic Con, when they were still in existence, tried to do something similar, but I think maybe their setup might have been wrong, because they would come in, they sold like strictly tickets for, because we're talking about primarily wrestling, they'll sell a ticket for Undertaker's autograph. People would come in, get Undertaker's autograph, and bolt. That's it. They weren't staying for the con. So that's why they went under. That no one was staying for the con.
And that's why I said, if you offer everybody's autograph and a ticket price, people are more inclined to stay longer and spend more money. Because they're getting all these celebrities' autographs for free, included in their ticket price. So they're going to want to get their most bang for the buck on their ticket.
You have to also understand, if they just come for the autograph and leave, they're not really spending any money. You have to also set up the show where they have to pass the vendors. Because if you
have to... You want to set it up to where there's food vendors, drink vendors, and vendors for, you know, merchandise, things like that, for everybody at the show. So people can come up and buy things.
As it is. What I'm saying is, if you keep the celebrities in a separate room, then the people that buy the ticket are not going to visit the vendors at all. You'll have that. But if I want
to have it all in one big room like they normally do, one room. Have it all open, flat open room, and have the celebrities around the outside of the venue, and have vendors next to every single one of the booths for the celebrities. You know, whether it's, you know, merch to buy, or if it's food or whatever, you want to try to, or you put your food and drinks and stuff direct smack dab in the middle. And then you have a couple merch stands in the middle, and then have merch stands all around the outside by all the celebrity booths.
In regards to food, it depends on the event, because if it...
Okay, I have to...
I know you got to go.
Switch I'll off, leave, but 10 o'clock.
Send me the
pick
links.
This up.
Send us links. We could talk about other stuff some other time if you want to talk later. I'll keep everything handy and reboot everything and make sure everything is...
Alex will help us after the show is over at 10. He's going to help you work with your StreamYard and stuff.
Okay, we'll do it then. It'll be a little bit dark on my end, but in regards to StreamYard, but if we can get everybody in just to chit-chat and everything else, he's more than welcome to come on and just chit-chat about everything and just talk what he can. Talk about stuff that he won't normally talk about on his own show, if he's willing to do that as well.
Okay. All right.
See you probably later.
Yeah, I'll talk to you at around 10.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that weirdly sounding episode. Yes, I tried to boost where I could, and it was mostly on my end. So I do apologize for the weird audio. Again, we were having tech issues, like we always do when we try to do things remotely. So If you have any questions, comments, or updates, please send them to us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or leave them in the comment section of the pin post on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Don't forget, all our social media links are on our website under each episode. Our main website is TheLongCoatMafia.podbean.com. We do have a YouTube channel. We tend to post every now and again to that channel. So just hop on YouTube, search for Long Coat Mafia Podcast. We're the only channel that comes up. So don't be fooled by a lot of these hate-filled sites. We're the only mafia-themed geek podcast that is on that channel. So see you guys next episode, because that is our last Four State Comic Con episode regarding our panel series stemming from that event. So please stay tuned, everyone, and I'll see you next episode or on YouTube.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.